That was Shannon Lyon from Safe Inside and Broken Things here on Coral FM. And, of course, he's playing Cafe Pyrus on May the 2nd. It's a crazy show today. Shannon's on the road. He's on the way to Sudbury. He's playing tonight. And I did a phone interview with him. And this is kind of a show dedicated to two longtime friends who have become highly successful in their artistic ventures. So one of them is sitting right across from me in the studio, and that is John Tutte. He is, the creator, the owner, the film aficionado, curator for the Princess Cinema, and we are here to discuss Canada Film Days, which is now 8 years old.
It's a baby still.
It's a baby. It's not a baby. It's
well, 8 years, I guess, is an older child.
It's a cool baby. You know what? How old is the princess?
Princess is 28, 29, maybe.
Okay, you're going to be 31 in 2015, isn't it?
It'd be 30 years in 2015, yeah.
That's what I thought.
30 years, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that is great. 30 years of amazing films.
Yeah.
And this year you have everything from the Grand Seduction to Doc Opera. Super Duper Alice Cooper. So, where should we start? Where should we start here?
Why don't we start by trying to define what the heck it is? I mean, what Canada Film Days is.
Yeah, you know what?
How about that? That's an odd one.
The other day was Canada Film Day on April 29th.
Well, yeah, that's some kind of new thing. But
That's kind of weird.
But yeah, we named it Canada Film Days because when it started 8 years ago, it was this days in May and June where we'd play Canadian cinema. We just thought, we'd name it Canada Film Days. It took place over almost 2 months. And over the 8 years, the format of the festival has condensed into a festival. And so now, about 4 years ago, we really condensed the days part of it into a one-week festival.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier for the community to digest and for us to sort of promote as an entity. Festivals are like that.
Exactly.
They have a begin date and an end date.
So, and you're running from May 1st to May 8th.
Starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's right.
It starts tomorrow with a bang. And then you have all these great guests coming in and all these Coolamundo after parties.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why don't we talk about this? Where it's all at the... Now, it's going to be at the Princess Twin, right?
Everything's at the original.
Everything is either... Oh, okay.
Yep. Everything is at the original.
Okay.
Always has been over the years. We might shift it around a little bit, but... Everything's going to be at the original.
Okay.
Starts May 1st. We have various people coming in. We have 8 feature films over 8 days.
I know.
Three of them, two of them are documentaries. One's a tribute.
Yes.
And then five of the features. We're really lucky, I think, to get the Canadian film Grand Seduction.
I know.
Which, directed by Don McKellar.
Which is based on the 2003 film Seducing Dr. Lewis.
Yeah, the French-Canadian film, which was a big hit for us
way
back when we played it.
I know.
Really popular, charming charmer, comedy charmer.
It is. It's a Newfoundland charmer. And this has, Brendan Gleeson and Gordon Pinson and Taylor Kitsch,
American actor. Yeah.
He's in John Carter.
Yeah.
And I like the movie John Carter. I mean, the critics were kind of like, but I loved it. I think it was very cool.
Yeah, he's pretty well known. He's the doctor that they're trying to woo to town, of course.
So why don't we go through the films and then tell us who the special guests are attached to every film? Because I don't want to do it
should do it. So, kickoff night, Thursday, May 1st. The special guest for that night is, should I mention a CBC host on air here or not?
Yeah, you can do that.
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can do
Our national radio station, Craig Norris, he will be here to introduce it. The Grand Seduction, although we don't have anybody with the Grand Seduction, all those people we just mentioned, Taylor, Brendan, Gordon, even the director, Don McKellar,
right.
None of them can make it. So none of them can make it. So there is nobody special coming for the Grand Seduction. Other than the special guest host introducer person. But it's a pretty big deal. In fact, The Grand, I'll tell you, The Grand Seduction is such a big Canadian film that we don't even know if we'll be opening it. How about that for big?
Wow. Yeah, I know.
You know,
it's
huge. So there's some, you know, it's just got a lot of things going for it. It's a bit of a universal message.
Yeah, it is.
What Canadian town in a remote little outport it has struggled with the ability to attract and keep a doctor?
Exactly. And okay. This is a charming little comedy, kind of like, what, Rare Birds, you know?
Or Waking Ned Divine.
Yeah.
You know, odd, quirky characters.
Yeah, they're great.
In a beautiful little locale. I mean, odd and quirky go really well with Newfoundland.
I think so, too. Right? And, you know, I mean, this is a great way to open it. And then?
Yeah, then The Late Show at 9 o'clock, and sort of we're connecting this again, Don McKellar. This is a film called The Husband, but it's directed by Bruce MacDonald.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Bruce go way back.
Yep. He's a good friend of your, like, he's a good friend of the festival, too. He often comes to the festival.
Yeah, he often does. This time, another good friend of the festival is David Miller, and David will be there. He's the producer of The Husband, and he's also the main lead actor, Max McCabe-Locos, will be there for The Husband. He was in Bruce MacDonald's film Tracy Fragments.
Yes, right.
And
yeah.
If anybody knows the band Deadly Snakes,
I have heard of the Deadly Snakes.
He was the lead singer in the Deadly Snakes, and
he looks like he could be a lead singer in a band. You know,
yeah, he's got a strange. So he's going to be in town.
Kind of a Andy Wiry Gollum type thing going on about him, and he was in Lars and the Real Girl too, which was a really cool little Canadian film.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't know that. That Max McCabe was in that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he was. Yep. So I think that is very cool.
Yeah, so that's our kickoff Thursday night, and then we all sort of head back after each of the films to Ethel's to sort of celebrate the kickoff of these films.
It's right next door to us. And
it's casual.
Like
it's you know, we're there just to, you know, celebrate it. Celebrate our Indigenous filmmakers, and that's what that's all about afterwards. And you get the chance to meet actors, meet a producer, meet people that like this type of movie. And, you know, I think gone, Coral, you and I both know that gone are the days where Canadian film meant, wonder what it'll be like. Good, bad.
It's not like that anymore. It's just a film made in Canada.
Yeah. These films play internationally.
Yeah.
You know,
they
it's almost like, you know, Spanish films. A lot of countries have the same problem with competing with the Hollywood juggernaut.
Yeah.
One of the stories I like to tell or let the listeners to consider, you would never see in a medium-sized town in the United States, let's say, an American film festival.
Well,
because they own the medium. They own the movie medium. So countries like ours, Scotland, Spain, Australia,
England,
England, UK too, even. Yeah. It's a little bit of a struggle to get screen time in their own countries.
Yeah.
So Canadian film is foreign in a way because it's so exotic on our own screen.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way it's familiar too, because once you get a chance to see the Canadian cinema and recognize, hey, that movie, you know, like one of the movies was shot in Toronto, The Husband.
Yeah, exactly.
Grand Seduction is in Newfoundland.
Yep.
Arctic Defenders, a documentary about the formation of Nunavut.
Exactly. That
everything becomes familiar that, you know, we hear about in our news and we live it. So so it's really fun programming a Canadian festival. I really like it a lot.
I was going to say, how did you curate the films for this? How long does it take you to put these films together?
There's a little bit of curating. I mean, I do start, I have a French-Canadian film that won Gabriel Arcan the Best Actor Award at the Canadian Screen Awards, The Auction.
Yeah, that looks great.
So I start with trying to get in a quality French-Canadian
film.
I start with that, and then I go basically across the geography of Canada, east to west, where films were produced locally, and that's a starting ground. I don't stick to that criteria really strictly, but I think that's we're such a huge, vast country that I think it's only
then you get a good representation.
It's a representation.
Directors working across the country, and like there's some, you know, we have so much great stuff.
I know.
Algonquin.
So Algonquin is playing the last two nights of the festival, and also is our closing night. It is also it's distributed by the company that David Miller, who's a local guy. David Miller's very much from Kitchener-Waterloo, and he's been at Canada Film Days now, I think, for 3 or 4 years with different films. But Algonquin Park Wall, essentially, if I was to give a short story about it, it's a story that, about a writer that wants to write the quintessential book on
Algonquin.
An experience in Algonquin Park and a cabin, and then the background of what's happening is a little bit of a dysfunctional family. Sheila McCarthy is in it.
Yep.
Nicholas Campbell, who plays his roguish type writer, and the son who's trying to sort of follow in his footsteps and help him with this book.
Like you have interesting themes. You have one. This is a father son thing, and then you have another film about the auction is father daughter.
Father daughter. That's right.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it's the Gabriel Arcand plays a father that lives on this farm in the beautiful Lac Saint John area of Quebec.
Yeah,
and he's older. His daughters have gone off to the big city in Montreal to be dancers and choreographers, and they're not really going to be farmers.
No.
So it's a bit of a grim tale, but it's handled with such sensitivity but the director just loves that area, the geography, and Gabriel Arcand's performance is just fantastic. I mean, he nails the performance of a man set to make that change.
Yeah, it's like, what is it these days with kids not wanting their parents' their parents' cottages and stuff like that? They don't want the next level of the family heritage. These heirlooms, they don't seem to want them anymore, right? But
yeah,
there's like in both films, there's like there's a father-son, father-daughter. I thought that was really interesting. Like both men are kind of older, they're irascible, older types that are kind of, you know, curmudgeonly, like stuck in their...
That's true. Kind of stuck
in a rut.
They're similar that way, yeah. Algonquin is very similar to The Auction.
But very interesting that way. So that's something that I noticed.
Yeah, that's a good... it's a good comparison, those two.
And then Arctic Defenders, now, this is really interesting, too, because this is about the creation of Nunavut, so...
Yeah, Arctic Defenders, that's a co-present with the SIGI organization over here, Center of International Governance and Innovation.
Right.
And one of their associate professors, Whitney Lochenbauer, was a crew member on the making of this film.
Oh,
it's directed by John Walker from out east, and he can't be here. But Whitney Lochenbauer will be at both of our screenings, one on the Saturday and one on the Sunday. It's won a unique award. Arctic Defenders won an award for the film that contains or the best use of archival footage.
Oh.
And so what John Walker did was he filmed when the first murmurings came out about, you know, the Inuit wanted to form their own territory up there.
Right.
He went up and filmed all of these upshot, young, up-and-comer guys way back when and filmed little outposts, little communities. And then finally, when the papers were all signed and sealed, he updated it. He merges it with modern day. I mean, it's a great story because, you know, right now we're going through a territorial dispute in the Ukraine and Russia that involves tanks and aircraft. And this was a peaceful transformation of one of the largest tracts of land in the world.
And
no guns, no battles, no nothing.
Just
so,
a nice transition.
Yeah, so it's beautiful that way.
Isn't this a retracing for him too? He's been there before and he's sort of coming back to it as well.
Yeah, the director, John Walker. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very, very much a very personal story. And John is busy right now at Hot Docs Festival and he really wanted to attend. A lot of the screenings he's liked to attend just because it's quite a personal film for him. Arctic Defenders. Yeah,
I think that was a good choice. There's a couple of there's another documentary here.
Bert's Buzz.
This is really interesting. This is about a guy who completely changed his life, living middle class New York, and all of a sudden he's like, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get into bees.
Bert's Buzz.
Buzz.
Everybody or somebody maybe has gone into a health food store at one time or another and picked up a Bert's Bees product.
Yeah.
A lip balm or a salve.
Yeah, exactly.
With that bee guy logo on it. Okay.
Yep.
And so this guy, he had this unique product, and it was only in health food stores.
Mm-hmm.
So the short story was, and he sold out. I think he sold out to Clorox or some corporation.
Oh, that God.
Slightly changed. You can see his product now at Home Depot, everywhere in home hardware, everywhere and anywhere. Anyways, I don't know too much about the logistics of what happened along the way, but this is the story about how he's living in the bush in Maine.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with...
Yeah, and so it's really the product's changed, but he's still Bert in the backwoods.
Yep, with the big beard.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool, and it's directed by Jody Shapiro.
Yeah, so it's a Canadian film it's about kind of this American guy, but it begs the question, too, when we do these Canadian festivals, what makes a Canadian film? Right.
Well, Jody worked on My Winnipeg. She was a producer. So why? What? Why? What?
I mean, I think it's the sensibility. It's just the sensibility of the approach to the filmmaking. You know, I think that's sort of what you have to look at. The other one that's really you say, well, gee, is it Canadian? Is the Alice Cooper doc, Super Duper Alice Cooper?
But
it was funded by Canadians. Canadians wrote it, edited it, directed it.
Sam Dunn and Reginald Harkema. Sam Dunn did what? Headbanger's Journey.
Yeah, Reg Harkema did Monkey Warfare.
Yep, all that stuff.
You know, starring Don McKellar. So it's all about sensibility. I had heard somebody told me a story the other day that Alice Cooper in his heyday in the '70s and early 80s, he would open his tours in Canada. I mean, we hear that about a lot of rock bands, you know, will either do their warm-up tour in some small bar. Stones would do it. I think The Who did it.
The Stones, the Elma Combo, The Who, I'm not sure where. Alice loves this area. I think he played down at Scott's Grill or hung around there after a show at Center in the Square. And in the day, when he came to the Odd, I saw him when he was really Alice.
Ah.
When he was really Alice, not Fitz playing Alice, but Alice, and it was freaky. I saw him 3 times, and then the next time I saw him, Gatto opened up, and he was playing Alice. So this movie, I got to tell Rolf about this movie because he's a Alice Cooper fanatic, Rolf at Far Out Flicks.
Far Out Flicks. This is our closing night on May 8th at 9 o'clock and at 9:20, and Reg, the director, Reg Harkema will be there.
Yeah,
we'll all go back and share Alice Cooper's at Ethel's that night, and even Glenn, Glenn down at Ethel's claims that. That Alice would start his tours at the PAC at UofW.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, that he had seen him play down there once or twice, I think.
Yeah, he likes Canada. He likes Toronto. He likes this area. I have friends that used to hang out with him in Toronto, and they used to call him Uncle Vince. So
right, his real name.
Yeah, so I'm looking. I would like to see this, but I think I better let Rolf come and see it and work for him because he's a huge Alice fanatic.
So that's a fun way to end the festival with a... sort of with a bang.
Bang.
And our friend Tom Ernst will be in town.
Yes, Tom he's Ernst, a film reviewer.
Yeah, he's a, you know,
TVO.
The real...
He used to be
with TVO.
Right.
Now he's just a freelancer that you hear him everywhere and anywhere.
Yeah.
And he's really passionate about Algonquin as well. So he's gonna introduce Algonquin and also Reginald Harkema on our blowout night on the last night on the 8th. So that'll be a real way to finish it off. And if I could do one
in
little,
between, there's still some
there's
movies.
A couple things we didn't talk about, and that's the tribute night to Frederick Bach.
Yeah, that's the other thing, and is about trees.
It's about trees a little bit. He is. You know, we see the Oscars every year, and it's always about Canada will have a nominated short animated film generally.
They have so many great animated films.
He was one of the greatest, and produced. He just recently passed on Christmas Day this past year. And he was an immigrant. He came to Quebec and settled into Quebec in the 50s and started to work for Radio Canada, doing logos on some of the early TV shows.
Yep.
Became this animator and produced some wonderful shorts. His piece that really got the most attention was The Man Who Planted Trees.
Right.
That's a 30-minute animated piece that he did, won an Oscar. It's based on a piece of literature. And we're bringing in an organization, 10,000 Trees, and everybody's going to get a free seedling that pay their price of admission. But we're also showing three or four of his other short films that night.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And it's wonderful. His style is just so classy, so beautiful, artistic. He's very big in Asia. They worship Frederick Bach in Asia. In Japan and in parts of China, they just worship his work. It's almost, it's Miyazaki-like.
I was going to say,
it contains Miyazaki. A lot of nature themes.
Okay.
And the artistry in the backgrounds are just gorgeous.
Which makes sense. So
doing a tribute to him is really a great celebration within the context of this festival.
Yeah, it is. And there's another. This is an interesting little movie, Kaz and Dylan. Now, is Richard Dreyfuss in a very interesting kind of dilemma.
Well, it's a little, Jason Priestley's debut film.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? 90210.
Yep.
And it's a little bit formulaic in the sense that you've got this curmudgeon professor guy, Richard Dreyfuss, and Tatiana Maslany, as a fiery, kind of firebrand girl, and they go off on a road trip.
Yeah, it's a road flick.
It's a road flick with a little bit of a twist. And where's their road trip? It's through the Rockies. It's out west.
Yeah, it's interesting. It looks like they learn from each other. It looks like a comedy drama. So
that's that's the gist of it. I haven't seen Cass and Dylan, so I can't speak too in depth about that particular film. But again, that's how we program Canada Film Days. We get a Western film in there.
Yeah.
And this looked like a good candidate.
Yeah, it does. It looks really, I like those little quirky films, those where they have odd pairings of people that just sort of, they end up together and it's through circumstance or whatever. So that is really good. So have we covered everything?
Alice Cooper, The Auction, Algonquin, Arctic Defender. Yeah, we've covered.
We have covered everything. So so Canada Film Days is coming up, is going on. What else is going on at the Princess that you want people to know about right now? Do you have any other festivals coming up? I mean, you just had the Fly Fishing Festival.
We have a really huge, cool thing coming up in June. Peter Howell's the Toronto Star film critic.
Yes.
And he's coming into town on the 15th to do he's a big fan of Harold Ramis.
Oh,
Ghostbusters, Caddyshack.
Yeah, so am I. Huge, Ground, huge.
Yeah, so we're doing we're doing two screenings of Caddyshack. June 15th and 17th. He's in town for the 7 o'clock Sunday evening screening of Caddyshack on the 15th, he's going to do a talk and almost an interview format on stage before Caddyshack, because he's just such a huge Ramis fan.
You should tell him that Rolf and I developed this game about Groundhog Day. Every time the clock hits six, you have to down a shot. Do you know how many times? I counted it, and I think it's about 130 times. In the film, and I thought, wait a minute, there's all these little tiny editing scenes where you don't see the clock, but you know what's happening. I'm like, oh my God, I have to add those in.
That's a lot of shots.
That was a really well put together film. I thought that was, I loved Harold Ramis. I love him. And we often watch Ghostbusters at the store,
I know. Yeah, no, he's one of the great comedians. I mean, he went on into Hollywood, but he's people do call. Is he Canadian? Harold Ramis is. Not sure if Harold Ramis is Canadian or not. I mean, he may or may not be. But
I'm not sure either. He's Canadian oriented, but he did a lot on Second City and all that kind of stuff. So that's great. Peter Howell is, a film reviewer's icon. God, in this country. Holy
I know.
Mackerel.
And just so happened that and we're working with a local guy that knows him, and this thing just came right to. It sort of came right out of the blue through our Twitter feed. and we connected with these people, and then bang, and it that's how it came together. So we're really excited about doing something like that.
Do you have any music
stuff? No live shows in May and June. May and June, we sometimes do live shows, but no music to talk about. All film happenings.
All right, probably in the.
So those are
those are things that are going on. There's always stuff going on, and what
anybody like Ralph Steadman.
Yes.
You know, there's a new Ralph Steadman doc with Johnny Depp called For No Good Reason.
Yep. That'll be good.
So that's coming in June for 3 days.
People have been, because I work at Faro Flix, people have been coming to the store raving about the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, Grand Budapest,
Everybody's been going to the Princess to see it.
That's been a huge hit for us. Yes. I think we're in our fifth week of it now.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing about the Princess is that you have grown your audience over, well, it's going to be 30 years in 2015. So this is like a major big deal here.
Yeah.
And the audience is, you know, the audience, they are, you know, growing, and it's one generation after the next, and it's really, really cool. So.
I know. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I come in and meet people who went to the Princess in 85, 86. And they're older people.
Yep. And they're still coming.
And there's younger people discovering. And so that's fantastic.
Yep. From the universities and stuff like that.
Yeah. And just people in the community. Well, we've got our usual, we've got upcoming documentaries. One hit documentary on the circuit that's been quite popular is this thing called Particle Fever.
Okay.
About that huge collider they have constructed in this in Scandinavia somewhere that crashes atoms into each other. And it's been a project they've been trying to build for years and years, and they finally built the thing. And there's been a film made about it, about the scientists involved in that. It's all about physics. That. Yeah.
And yeah. So, well, everybody's, you know, there's lots of all these nerd nights and everything going on.
Around here, yeah. So Particle Fever is back again in May. Played last month, was a big hit. Oh, Carl, you would know about this. Have you ever heard of a band called The National?
Yes.
The National. I have. Yes. The National Singular?
Yes. Yes. National. Yes.
So there is a one night we're playing their movie, their new movie about them on May 22nd called Mistaken for Strange.
Okay.
And I think there's brothers in that band.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There's a set of brothers, and then there's the lead singer. The lead singer's brother is a kind of a filmmaker type of guy, wants to be, and he filmed them. So in other words, now there's sort of three sets of brothers on this project, Mistaken for Strangers, and that's about the Nationals.
You do music and film too, which is great. You had a great series with, I think it was Peter Gabriel and U2 and all these different...
Oh, yeah, that was last summer.
That was great. Like, there's so many great little festivals that you put together that...
Yeah.
I just think it's so cool. I mean, the Princess is, you know, fine. I mean, this is a very... Like, you're a destination cinema.
So, yeah, you know? I think so. People come from quite a ways to check out our offerings, that's for sure. Because nobody else, the chain theaters don't play docs.
No,
they don't have the time to nurture audiences.
No.
They don't have the risk-taking to try certain things that they think probably might not work.
And you know that your audience is, you know, is it's solid. So they will probably, like, if it's coming to the Princess, they trust you. And your, you know, film curation abilities. So it's like, if John's bringing this to the Princess.
Yeah, sometimes I mess up, but but hopefully not. A documentary, Coral. Years back, you may have seen An Inconvenient Truth.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's being called The Inconvenient Truth about the food industry. More and more about obesity and sugar and how we've kind of missed the boat on sugar. You know, we've gotten the fat thing all worked out.
But
this one, it's called Fed Up. It's called Fed Up. and it's about, you know, children and childhood obesity and how much sugar really is in all the products that you and I consume and everybody consumes.
Yeah, all the time. You just don't know. You have to really... Everything is locally, I said today, this is the music here is locally sourced, organically grown, lovely music. Mm. You know, everybody's locally sourced food is the way to go, you know, where your food is coming from, you know, food with no preservatives, and people are much more...
Not processed.
Yeah. They're much more attentive to this sort of thing, and I think documentaries have really helped, like Food Inc. and even Super Size Me and movies, you know, docs like that. Like,
they help. For sure.
What's the other one? Is it Forks Without Knives?
Forks Over Knives.
Forks Over Knives
was fascinating. Yeah. The fact that struck me that came out of the Forks Over Knives documentary is the fact that in the United States, it was becoming a common medical procedure that when you reach the age of 55, 60, one of the most common procedures was to crack open a person's sternum, open up their rib cage, and do heart surgery.
Yeah.
Why? Diet.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so that just struck me as, okay, yeah, there's something serious going on with the in. You look, I was looking at some raw footage the other day of found footage of all these people that shot Super 8 films in cities in the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't films, they were just, and the look of people on the streets in New York and Toronto and things like that, they were overall skinny and thin.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say they were fit or muscular, but there was no sort of overweight people, right? And so were they eating something different? What were they doing different? I mean,
not eating.
They're probably moving a little bit more, but
yeah.
But I would say it's generally food.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
probably the food that those people in the 40s and 50s ate. It's just a different food than what the people in the 2000s.
Yeah, because everything is much more processed, and people are in a hurry.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's stressed out. Nobody has enough time.
Yeah.
They don't take the time to sort of sit down and eat and digest. They're always on the run.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to make, you know, all those fast food places.
All the fast food places, yeah.
Not a good idea. I mean, look what happened to Morgan Spurlock in Super Size Me.
Yeah.
He had to stop eating that food because it was literally...
His organs were collapsing on him.
Killing him. Yeah. You know, that's an eye-opener, you know, for people. So
I think documentaries
are great, like Gasland, and I mean, there's so many of them, right?
All the Michael Moore docs.
Yep. Gasland 1, Gasland 2, all kinds of stuff like that. So this is very cool. Well, you know what? I'd like to thank you so much for coming in. This has been great.
Oh, it's a pleasure always coming in. Yeah, for sure. I love coming in and talking to
Talking film. You can come in anytime you want. I know you're really busy. There's something else, too, that the princess does, and that's opera. You do opera on the big screen.
Oh, yeah, we do opera, the Royal Opera House.
Yes.
We do that once every month. At the end of each month, there's an opera. And I think we have May, June, July, August. We have 4 operas left.
That's so neat. I think that is really cool.
That's all at the Twin.
Yep. For people that can't make it on the big, you know, can't make it.
Yeah.
Can't see it on the big screen.
That's right.
A different way of seeing it, but it's a cool way of
seeing it. It's a cheaper way, too.
Yeah, because
opera is a pretty expensive art form to go out and see. You're up into the almost $100 a ticket,
and this is
$15 a ticket.
I think should be accessible to everyone.
But yeah.
I have, I don't know, I have a bunch of music, local music here.
What do you got?
I've got Shannon Lyon, Charlena Russell. I've got Craig Cardiff.
Oh.
The new Craig Cardiff, I'll
put some Craig Cardiff on.
Put on some Craig Cardiff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going to be playing in Cambridge, I think, May 24th.
Does he still live in Ottawa?
I do not.
Or where does...
I do not know. I'm going to be talking to him next week, actually. That's 45 RPM. Wow. What has he done with his CD? This is really cool. Everybody's pressing on vinyl.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Even all the young bands are doing that.
And
they're bypassing CDs? Are they just going straight to doing both?
No, they're doing digital. I just wrote a story about Beat Noir, who are kind of a local emo punk band that are playing this weekend. And they have digital download, but they've also opted to press 12-inch vinyl, which I think is really neat because vinyl's coming back.
I know.
It really is. Okay, I'm going to play some Craig Cardiff here. This is quite the CD packaging here, Craig. I got to say, let's play track 1. I think this might be Boy Inside the Bug.
Okay.
On Cruel of Him with my special guest, John Tutt.
The moments you wish you'd picked with your heart and not your head. I'll do my best to tell it. Sing it simply, I'll explain. That it's extra to light the candle, but it's no charge. No charge for the rain. No charge for the rain. We found the boy inside the boat the week that Rita left the band. Richard left the party, took freedom by the hand. We learned the louder that they yell, the less likely they understand. Please be gentle with them, gentle with yourself. Hold me a seat, I'll be there soon. I starved out the heart, gave the head too much room. We do our best to number, make up stories that explain. I was extra to light the candle, but it's no charge for the rain. No charge for the rain.
On the sandwich board, bullies Judas Henry left the stage. I find the convictions curious from the side of the cage. Did the universe reveal herself? Did she make herself known? Were we too busy, too important to look up from the phone? Only a seat, I'll be there soon. I start up the heart, give the head to my trunk. We do our best to number, make up stories that explain how it's extra to light the candle, but it's no charge for the rain. No charge for the rain. In the terminal, he reflected all the fences laid down. Figured a week there at Mayo would lighten the crowd. A craving offered comfort, a craving held his hand. She is dangerous in a friendship, cause she understands. All best to know better, put your head inside her mouth. Making friends with your monsters is what sorts them out. Do our best to number, make up stories that explain how it's extra to light the candle, but it's no charge, no charge for the rain, no charge for the rain. Well, it's dark in here and I'm wondering, are they leaning or are they in love? That broke open the ribs of your chest, let the heart out to wander into such recklessness. It's dangerous out there in the dark. Meanwhile, back there in Ontario, John Wilson had gone, made all the other boyfriends look so terrible, terrible, oh my. This is no dress rehearsal and no sound check. This is a show. If all you wanna do is practice, then maybe all we should let go. And let go. And all the countries lined all their words up end upon end. We're embarrassed when they discovered how they had murdered the simple, perfect language. Like, kiss me, oh, and I'll kiss you too. Love me and I will love you. And be gentle with me. I'm scared, oh, as you. This is no dress rehearsal, no sound check. This is a show. All you wanna do is practice, and maybe all we should let go and let go. This is a sound, the heart unraveling. This is a sound. Oh. Heart unraveling. Love said, call me, well, I am free, not cheap. It's important to me that you know there's a difference, you know, I know, you know, well, and love had tried to hitchhike a ride from Thunder Bay. Greyhound in most of the ride, and sat at the back of the bus by the cans, where all the guys out of jail would sit and drink themselves to sleep. Love held their hands, love held their hands the whole way home through every little town. did not want them back. Love leaned in. Love was just like that. Just like that. This is no dress rehearsal, no sound check. This is a show. If all you wanna do is practice, maybe all we should let go and let go. This is a sound of not unraveling. This is the sound, oh, of the heart unraveling.
Okay, there's some Craig Cardiff from his latest release, Love and Louder Than All This Noise. Sorry, I got talking to John Tutt because he's a longtime pal. And I lost track of time. This has been such a cool show so far. Oh, my God. So that was John was here to talk about Canada Film Days, and that is happening May 1st to the 8th. And maybe next Wednesday we may have some special Canada Film Day guests here in the studio live. So I will, once I figure that all out, I will, you know, let everybody know on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, if you want to know more about Canada Film Days, just go to the Princess Cinema website. And it's all at the Princess Mother, the original Princess Mother, and it goes from May the 1st to the 8th. And it's a great, he's got a great collection of films.